Greetings this morning to each one. It is good to gather in the house of the Lord this morning. For the message today, the scripture is going to be Matthew 6, starting at verse 5 through 16. Every one of us sitting here at some time or another has been gone through, or has been through, except for maybe some of the young ones, and you will be there at some time in life again. The topic that I felt God calling me to talk on today was forgiveness. And sooner or later, through life, you'll have to forgive, or you'll be seeking for forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, is the Lord's Prayer. And it says, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." As we look at the word forgiveness, also going right along with that is the word trespasses. And if you were to look it up in the Greek, in the Strong's, the word trespass means a slide, a slip that is unintentional error or a willful fault, offense, sin, or trespass. If you were to take that meaning in the Strong's and then you would look across the New Testament on the different ways that that word is actually used, it is used with several different words throughout the New Testament. One of those words is trespasses. The other is offense. The other is fall. And fault and sins. Those are the six different ways that all use that same meaning, that come back to the same meaning in the Strong's Concordance. While we're looking at the topic of forgiveness, it's important to understand that the reason for forgiveness is because of human error. Because of sin, because of trespasses, it causes separation. We can go back into Genesis at the very creation. God created man. God created all of creation. He said it is very good. It was perfect. Until man chose to do what God had told him not to do. As soon as Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they felt separation. They began to seek a way. They began to make clothes. They seek a way to try to cover that, to restore that separation. And while God forgave Adam and Eve, there was a part of that that was never the same. God is merciful. God is forgiving. However, since then, man has not been able to see God face to face, or to walk with God in the garden like Adam and Eve did. Sin fractures, and it leaves changes. There's a saying that goes, and I think a lot of us have used this saying, and most of the time we joke about this saying, but it's to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. And I thought about that earlier in this week, and I actually went back and I said, well, I wonder where this saying actually originated from. And it goes back to as early as somewhere in the mid-1800s that they know that it was first used, and they said this saying could have been even before then. But the first one that they have recorded that they know of is in about 1847, and it was when a girl was to get permission from her father to get married, and sometimes it was hard for her to get that permission, and the statement was made, you get married, and it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to get the permission. Now, it's been used multiple times through life, through time. It has been used in multiple ways, and some ways are probably okay. But in our world today, we see people that will live their Christian life that way. You may know of people, I have known of people, that because of what their flesh wants to do, they will say, well, I'll go ahead and do what I want, and I will ask for God's forgiveness later. Sin is deceitful. We must be careful. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. While you may be able to seek forgiveness, yet there's a separation. There's a consequence for that. And then we go on, and after sin causes separation, we have the Old Testament, we have the law that was given. Jesus referred to it, and in Leviticus 24, verse 19 through 21, was the law. It was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And that's what Jesus referred to when he gave a new commandment. And yet, if you go to Deuteronomy 19, you can see how God still was merciful. And God's forgiveness, He understands man's humanness. And if you haven't read it, go to Deuteronomy chapter 19, where God put a place of refuge, a city of refuge that He told the children of Israel to set up, that if you were to take someone's life and it was an accident, it did bring change. You had to run to the city of refuge. You had to live there. That was your new place to live until the priest actually would die, and then you were free to go back. But if you were to exit this city, you could be killed. It could cost you your life. And yet God's forgiveness, God's provision that He made. And while it brings separation, and while there was justice, there was still an empty void. There was something that didn't take care of. And that's the reason this morning, as we look at forgiveness, you look at the person that lost a loved one because someone else took their life. And while they could get justice, it doesn't bring that person back. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5. If you go up just a chapter above where our text this morning, He said, but I say unto you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Ye have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Ye have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and unjust. For if ye love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Justice doesn't fill that void. Tyler Perry said this, "It's not an easy journey to get to a place where you forgive people, but it's such a powerful place because it frees you." In Matthew 6, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Pope John Paul said, "Forgiveness is but above all a personal choice, a decision of the heart to against go all natural instinct to pay back evil with evil." If you were to look up that word forgiveness in the Greek, that word means to send it away, to lay it aside, or to give it up. Forgiveness is an action, not a feeling. We often hear this. We often hear the saying, "Forgive and forget." There was a quote that says, "Surely it is much more generous to forgive and remember than to forgive and forget." There are two kinds of forgiveness. The first one is what you call unilateral forgiveness. Forgiveness offered to someone while there is no response. While someone may have died, or you don't know where they are, or maybe they just haven't been willing to make it right. You may have known people, I know have some, that have waited for years thinking if that person would just come and apologize, and surely it would all be better. And that whole time, they allow bitterness to build up. And when if and when that actually would happen, they would be disappointed, because the fact is, that doesn't free it. It's not that what they're looking for. It's forgiveness that they're actually looking for. It's something that they have to choose. It's a choice that they have to make. The other type of forgiveness is transactional forgiveness or reconciliation. This one takes repentance, apology, and both parties working together to rebuild what was broken. In Genesis, there's a story. It's a great one of the greatest stories other than Jesus and his forgiveness. In Genesis 37, and I'm actually going to turn there, Genesis 37, verse 12. And we all know this story. We know it well. And this story, actually, the story is a story of Joseph. And it actually occupies about 12 chapters of the whole book of Genesis. And we know the story, how his brothers sold him into Egypt because they despised Joseph. And in verse 18, it says, "They saw him from afar, and before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. They said one to another, 'Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams.' But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, 'Let us not take his life.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood, throw him in this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father.' So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him in a pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh, and on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our own flesh.' And his brothers listened to him. Then the Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt." Now, I think if any one of us, we look at it, we would say, that wasn't fair. It wasn't right. what his brothers, regardless of what Joseph might have told them with his dreams. But if we look on into Joseph's life as he goes on in chapter 39, in chapter 39, he was again accused for something that he hadn't done and thrown into prison. And there he sat for years in prison. He didn't have a way. He could have stayed bitter. He didn't have a way to go back and make things right with his brothers or with the accusation that he had with Potiphar. And yet, it was obvious that through time, Joseph forgave those that wronged him. He interpreted the dreams and he was brought out of prison. And in those next 7 years, while they were building plenty, there were two things that happened to Joseph. We can call them things. There was two sons born to Joseph. The first son, his name was Manasseh. And these begin to tell us a lot of what Joseph had, where Joseph had gone and what Joseph had, how he had forgiven. Manasseh means, God has made me forget all my hardship and my father's house. Now, we know he didn't forget his father's house, obviously, as a couple chapters later, as his brothers came to Egypt, he recognized them right away. He didn't forget who they were. But Joseph was able to forgive and to get past the pain of what had happened. These actions no longer controlled him. He was able to allow God to take care of them and trust them into God's care. His second son that was born was named Ephraim, which means, God has made me fruitful in the land and my affliction. Joseph recognized God's still blessing on him and that God still had a use for him, regardless of what had happened. God has a plan for him. He didn't know at this point that his brothers were going to come. He didn't know at this point how everything was going to work out, but he knew God did. And then, as his brothers came, sorry, let me back up here. Joseph, in front of him, Joseph had two daily reminders as he saw those sins each day, reminders of God's faithfulness and reminder of his decision. Joseph was human, just like you and I. He had to choose to forgive. He found his strength in God, just like you and I must do. I'm sure it looked pretty long, pretty hard sometimes for Joseph, especially when he was sitting in prison. And then we move on down to where his response to his brothers when they came in chapter 42, when Joseph first saw his brothers, he had not forgotten them. And while Joseph had forgiven his brothers, that we'll see in just a minute, yet he put them to a test to see if they had actually changed, to see if they had actually, where they were at, and if they had actually changed. Sometimes, if we're the person that wronged someone, we have to be willing to be put to the test as they see if we've actually changed, to see if we're willing to do what we need to make it right. Joseph's actions show forgiveness. In Genesis 45, he told his brothers, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for 2 years, and there are 5 years that there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant on earth and to keep you alive." And then the second time in Genesis 45, when he told him who he was, he told them, "Hurry, go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and your children and your children's children, your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you there for 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. Joseph could have told his brothers, all right, now you go back to dad and you get this thing squared away, you get this thing fixed up and right. But Joseph just told him to go back and tell him that I'm alive and to come to me. God is a just God. I'm sorry, as Christians, we are called to forgive regardless, to make a choice to let it go and let God handle it. In Romans 12, it says, Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do that which is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God is just. God is a just God. How often we as humans, if we were to give justice, we want more than justice. But God is a just God. God knows what is right. Nelson Mandela said this, As I walked out the door to the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. There is a longing deep inside each one, and that longing is not found by justice. That longing is found by forgiveness, by allowing God, by forgiving and allowing God to handle the rest. Some of you, many of you may know the story of Corrie Ten Boom. I love her stories and her testimony that she has. Corrie and her father and sister were discovered for hiding Jews before World War II and were taken to Ravensbrück. They were humiliated and treated brutally there. Her father and sister died there, but due to a clerical error, she was released. Rather than nursing a grudge, she spent the rest of her life preaching about God's mercy and the importance to forgive. She loved to say, When we confess our sins to God, God throws them in the deepest ocean and then posts a sign, No fishing. In 1947, she was sharing that very thing when a man came forward, one of the guards, a particularly cruel man from Ravensbrück. Everything flooded back and she was filled with hate. He came up to her smiling, saying, He was a changed man. He had found Jesus and said, She is so right. But he said, I wanted to be forgiven by someone that was there. He put out his hand. Will you forgive me? Corrie stood there. She could not forgive him. How could she? Her sister had died in that place, as so many had. She remembered the words of Jesus. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will I forgive you. She thought of Jesus dying on the cross, asking to forgive those that condemned him. Jesus, help me. She summoned up all the willpower and extended her hand. She described it as a wave of warmth rushing down her arm as she was able to say, with what she knew was God's love, I forgive you. Jesus did that very thing as he hung on the cross. Not one of those standing there that were condemning him or were crucifying him asked him for that forgiveness. And yet he said, Father, forgive them. He offered them that forgiveness. Every one of us has received that mercy and forgiveness from God. For the same reason, it is our duty to forgive others. And when we are able to forgive others, we will find that peace and that strength that deep inside is what we're looking for. Scott, do you have a song?
I think 635.
Okay. 635 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, this morning for your love to us, your example. As you hung on that cross and you forgave those that mistreated you. And God, we're human as we go through life. Help us to be able to forgive like you did, to forgive others, and we allow you to carry the rest. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we go through this week. Pray that you would direct us, and as we come in contact with the people that we go through this week, help us to be able to share your love, your forgiveness to them. Thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.